It's good to be with you on this 117-degree Lord's Day. I usually say it's a beautiful Lord's Day, and it always is. It's always a beautiful day when the saints can get together and praise our God. God is always on His throne, and people all across the earth are praising Him. That makes it a beautiful day. Please have your Bibles open to Psalm 116, please. Psalm 116, if you'd like to follow along. Thank you so much, if you're one of our visitors, for being here. You are our honored guests, and we want to make you feel welcome here at the Monte Vista Congregation. If you haven't already filled out a visitor's card and given it to somebody, please, there should be one on the back of the pew in front of you. At the end of services, there'll be a couple of people going throughout the audience. Please give it to them. We would love to have a record of your attendance, let you know how much we appreciated you being here. And if you want a Bible study or you want to know more about us, why we do things the way we do them, please let us know. I did a lesson about a year or so ago about comforting. And I said in that lesson, I'm a poor comforter. And I wanted to know more about comforting, more about how to be a Barnabas. And I want to take an aspect from that lesson and do a full lesson on it. We're going to do that in a roundabout way from Psalm 116. Psalm 116 is about somebody who has suffered something terrible. We don't know what that is. We do know that they were on the brink of death, and the psalmist will tell us that in Psalm 116. But there's a twist to this psalm. Actually, the twist isn't here. The twist is about how Paul applies the psalm. Let's look at it together. We're told at the beginning of the psalm that this has a happy ending. God heard the prayer of the psalmist to deliver him from whatever he was going through. Whatever that was, a disease, a surgery. I know they didn't have surgery back then, but make the application to your life. Maybe an enemy was surrounding him and he was outnumbered. Whatever it is perilous, and God heard him. Verse 1 of Psalm 116, I love the Lord, because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because He inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. I love the Lord. He heard my voice. He heard my pleas for mercy. And I don't think the psalmist is saying that I love the Lord only because He listened to my prayers. That's certainly an aspect of it. But this isn't a fling with God that the psalmist is having, saying, I'm going to serve Him as long as He listens to me. In fact, you'll know more about that in the twist in the New Testament. But I do want to say that a lot of people in the U.S., in our religious culture, it seems like they want to have something to do with God when they're in trouble. But when things are going good, when things are stressful, and things are worrying to them, they don't want to. Or when things are smooth, rather, they don't want to have anything to do with God. You probably have heard the statistics about the churches surrounding the New York City area after September 11th, when the country was attacked, when the terrorists attacked this nation, and the churches were overfilled with people. And slowly but surely, week after week after week, took a few months or so, the churches were back to their normal attendance, and people seemingly were out to lunch when it came to religious things. Too many people want to cry out to God. And isn't that the story of Judges? They want to cry out to God when things are bad, but when things are going really, really good, they don't want to have anything to do with God. And too many people like that are in the church. This is not a fling that the psalmist is having. Look at verse 2 again. I will call on Him as long as what? As long as I live. And we'll talk more about the dedication that this psalmist has a little bit later in the sermon. But look at verse 3. You'll see how perilous this situation was that the psalmist was in. The snares of death encompassed me. The pains of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. I love that imagery there in verse 3. The snares of death. It's almost like death is personified. Death is the hunter. Death has got this trap. So imagine like the Grim Reaper, and he's got this net. He's got this trap, and you're inside of it. Death's got a hold on you. The pains of Sheol. Imagine, if you will, Sheol was a Hebrewism for the grave. Imagine the arms personified as the pains. Imagine the arms of the grave reaching out and grabbing you by your foot, and it's got a grip on you. He's very close to death. That's how perilous this disease was, or being surrounded by his enemies, or whatever it was. And if it was a health problem, this is not a health problem where you just grow old and you die in your easy chair. What did he say in verse 3? I suffered distress and anguish. This is a stressful thing that he's going through. Underline that in your mind as we apply it to Jesus later. But in verse 4, he says, here's what I did. I called out to God, O Lord, I pray, save my soul. And as we learned at the beginning part of the psalm, God heard him. God saved his soul. Begin reading with me in verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest. You can stop worrying now. Go back to being restful. Go back to taking your ease. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Verse 8, my eyes from tears. So there was some sadness involved in whatever this perilous situation was. You've delivered my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Again, you hear that dedication. As long as I'm in the land of the living, I'm going to walk before the Lord because of what he's done for me. And now note verse 10. Get out a pen or a highlighter, because this is the text that Paul will quote in just a moment when we read from the New Testament. Verse 10. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. If your translation, if your English translation translates mainly from the Septuagint, it may say, I believed and so I spoke, or I believed and therefore I spoke. But the oldest way, the oldest manuscripts, the most literal way of interpreting verse 10 is this. I believed when I spoke about my affliction. I believed in God, I trusted in God while I was speaking about my affliction. Now hang on to that. But first, we are really good about talking about our affliction. We are really good, and we tell people eloquently about the pain we are suffering or whatever you're going through. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I've preached lessons that indicate just the opposite, that we need to be an open book with each other. That we need to tell each other and God about how we're feeling in the moment. But are we as good about talking about our affliction as the first part? I believed while I was talking about my great affliction. Do we trust God? That God has the ability to handle the situation that I'm going through, pain-wise, emotional-wise, or whatever. Here's why I started preaching this lesson, or why I worked up this lesson. When I got to thinking about encouraging people who are in pain, who are about to go through something hard, I thought about all those cliche sayings. You know, you put your arm around people and you say, everything's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. And doctors say this. You've got the best care, you've got the best medicine, you've got the best doctors at the best hospital, and this, that, and the other, and we're going to get through this together. And a lot of those things are hopeful, but do you know that? Do you know that people are going to get through that, this, that, or the other, the cancer, the tumor, the migraines? The surgery? Who has the ability to handle those situations? Is it the best doctors at the best hospital? With the best care? Or is it God? And listen to the next verse, verse 11. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. And perhaps, I don't know this for a fact, But perhaps the psalmist is thinking about all the empty promises that we make when we put our arms around each other and we say, well, you're gonna get through this. Well, can you promise that? What can mankind do about my perilous situation? And sometimes we make these empty promises, or we speak for God. And maybe the psalmist is throwing his arms up in the air and saying, all mankind are liars. Where I've got my faith is in God Almighty, where it should be. Now here's the twist. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We will be saved from pain. We will be saved from disability, developmental delays, handicap. We will be saved from all of those things. But how God does it might surprise you. Look at verse 8. And you'll probably start to hear Psalm 116, verse 8. We are afflicted in every way. Paul is going to talk about how the life of a Christian, and sometimes his life, isn't always a bed of roses. We are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. So listen to those things again. I know he's saying these things can't defeat us. These things can't hold us down from serving Christ the way we're supposed to serve Christ. But we're afflicted, we're perplexed, we don't know God's plans a lot of times, we've got these worries, we've got these stresses, we're persecuted, we're struck down. Things aren't good a lot of times as a Christian, physically speaking. So what is God going to do about it? Or what should we do about it in response? And what Paul will say is that our response needs to be the response of the psalmist in Psalm 116. To believe while we suffer these things. Look at verse 10. Always caring about in the body the death of Jesus, so that the death of Jesus, the life of Jesus rather, may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh, so death is at work in us. How is God going to defeat these things? Now listen to verse 13. Here's where he draws from Psalm 116. Verse 13, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. Since we have the same spirit of faith. The spirit of faith from who? The spirit of faith from the psalmist. According to what is written, I believed while I spoke. Again, if you have an English translation that is using the Septuagint, it may say, I believed and so I spoke, or I believed, therefore I spoke. But again, the more literal way, and once you put it in the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it makes sense that what we're doing is we're believing in God while we talk about our afflictions. And isn't that what Paul is doing? We're afflicted, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, we're struck down. But even while I experience those things, I believe, just as the psalmist believes, and that needs to be your spirit of faith. Now for the twist. Somebody might be running the references to Psalm 116 and saying, well, good. I mean, if we've got the same spirit of faith as the psalmist, God saved the psalmist. God's going to save me from my pain, my perilous situation, my cancer, my tumor, whatever it is. No, that's not the way Paul applies it. What Paul will say is that we have the same spirit of faith as the psalmist in Psalm 116, and God might not take away those things physically at all, but God will defeat pain and disability and developmental delays in the resurrection of the body. That's when God will defeat death for you. And all pain. Listen to what he says in verse 14. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Is God going to take away all physical pain and save us from every physical situation that we want him to? but he'll still defeat it for you. He'll still defeat it for you. Many of you know that we are adopting a son from China, little Silas, who has hydrocephalus. Hydrocephalus, if you didn't read the email a month or so ago, hydrocephalus is where fluid builds up in your brain and you have to put a shunt in to drain fluid. And depending on when they catch that hydrocephalus, you can experience some developmental delays, such as stroke-like symptoms. You could have no symptoms at all. Matter of fact, I just heard about a professional bowler that had hydrocephalus. You could have zero symptoms at all. Or you could have slowed speech. Your thinking is slowed. Your equilibrium is off. Your balance is off. And we pray about little Silas every day. And we don't know how delayed he is, or if at all. But if he is, I'm looking forward to teaching him about the God that defeats all disabilities and developmental delays and handicaps and pain and even death. But church, as a preacher, I'm looking forward to teaching it right now to you. You got a handicap? We've got surgeries coming up. We got people battling disease, dementia, all kinds of things. God defeats those things. I believe, while I talk about my great affliction, make sure that your spirit of faith is the same spirit of faith as what you see in Psalm 116. All mankind, they can't promise you a thing. Only God defeats those things. Now let's go back to Psalm 116. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we have the same spirit of faith. Now, it's fluffy and it's nice and it brings a tear to your eye when you're talking about hope, having the same hope that Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that he will defeat pain and even death. And that's fun to think about. But it's not as easy to think about the type of dedication that the psalmist is telling God, I'm going to give this to you. And when Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we have the same spirit of faith, this dedication, this commitment is also involved. I'm going to read a series of verses. There's going to be 7 of them. We're going to read them right in a row, but they're all throughout this psalm. Look at verse 2 again. He inclined his ear to me, therefore I call on him as long as I live. Dedication. Verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Dedication. Verse 13, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Commitment. Verse 14, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Dedication. Verse 16, O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I love that imagery there in verse 16. You've released me from a slavery, and I am now freely entering into your slavery, which in a great paradox is the greatest freedom. Isn't that Romans chapter 6, though? That God releases you from the slavery of sin, and you walk right into the slavery of God, which is freedom. But that's commitment. Verse 17, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Verse 18 now, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Commitment. Yes, it is easy to talk about the hope that we have in the resurrection of the body. It's not as easy to express to the Lord this type of commitment. But when Paul says that we have the same spirit of faith, let's make sure that we not only apply the hope, but the commitment that the hope calls for. The commitment that the hope calls for. Last point, and then the lesson will be yours. Psalm 116 is right in the middle of what they call the Hallel Psalms. Hallel, H-A-L-L-E-L. And it means praise. Praise the Lord. Hallel the Lord. And the reason why these Psalms, 113 through 118, are called the Hallel Psalms is because they all start or end with the word Hallel. If you look at the end of verse, the Psalm 116, Hallel the Lord, praise the Lord. And then if you look at Psalm 117, that one begins and ends with that. Praise the Lord. And then at the end of verse 2, it's a short psalm. Hallel the Lord again. And you can even hear the word hallelujah. I bring this up to say, according to history, we know that the Jews sang these psalms when they got together at the three pilgrimage feasts, one of them being the Feast of Passover. And we know that was the tradition in the time of Jesus, because we have historical documents about the Jews arguing about when to sing these psalms. I know that's a silly argument, but they would argue, do we sing 113 first and then the rest of them after dinner? Literally, that was an argument that they had. But in the time of Jesus, it was their practice to sing these Hallel Psalms in and around Passover time. And there is little doubt that Jesus our Lord sang the words of Psalm 116 right before he was arrested. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 26 says that they sang in the upper room when they were gathering together for the Passover, where the Lord's Supper was instituted. Now, whether Jesus sang that song or not that particular night in that room isn't as big of a deal. But Jesus would have sang this psalm. Listen, listen. I'm going to repeat some of the words, and I'm going to put them in the present tense. And just listen to the plight of Jesus. The snares of death encompass me. The pains of Sheol have laid a hold on me. I suffer distress and anguish. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. And isn't that what he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Were you listening to the scripture reading this morning? When Jesus prays, basically, deliver me, if it is possible, according to your will, not as I will, but deliver me from this hour, from this cup. And in fact, he told his three disciples, Peter, James, and John, I am suffering anguish even to the point of death. My soul is deeply distressed. That's the word from Psalm 116. And did God spare his son from the physical pain? And that's the lesson. He might not spare you the pain in this life. But what did God do for Jesus? He raised his dead body. And he might not take it away for you. But what he will do is raise you up, change your body, and present you in the presence of God. Don't you want that hope? Please get out your songbooks and turn to the song of invitation. We want you to have that hope. We want you to be forgiven in Jesus. And it would thrill our souls if you would make that commitment this day. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all your sins. If you need to do anything to make yourself right with God, please do it this morning. Will you come as together we stand and sing?